Now, the Gaelic Players Association are making an ask of the government, the Minister for Finance and the Minister of Public Expenditure as well, ahead of Budget 2026 next month. And they're seeking an increase in player grants from €1,400 to €2,500. With me in the line to talk about this is Tom Parsons, GPA Chief Executive. Tom, good morning to you and thanks for joining me in the programme.
Hi, Jory. Thanks for having me on.
I'll leave it to later on to rake you over the coals of our Donegal getting more nominations than Kerry. But serious matters first. Why are you making this call? This is the grant that was, it was in 2018 this was first introduced.
Yeah, it was. Look, it was first introduced in 2008, actually, you know, at the time,
yeah,
Jerry.
2008, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. At the time, the government had recognised that, you know, there a tax relief scheme for professional athletes, so the rugby players, soccer players, badminton players, you know, whatever athletes were professional were getting a tax relief. And I suppose the GPA, the players at the time, said, well, hold on a second, you know, we put in, you know, a huge amount of effort, you know, comparable nearly to professional athletes in terms of time and energy and commitment and training, and we're amateur, but how are you going to recognise us? So in 2008, they introduced a grant for intercounty players.
Okay, and that's where it was. It hasn't been increased since 2018.
Yeah, I suppose, look, we've this year what we did, Jerry, is we did a report with an economic specialist, and we had all 4,000 intercounty players, male and female, feed into the report, because we know how special Gaelic Games is and how special the intercounty game is. You know, I mean, it's the focal point for a lot of households at weekends. You know, I'm there with my three kids, you know, on a Saturday. You know, it gives you great energy, but we didn't know what is the impact. So the report showed that there's been a massive growth, like 2.5 million people attend these games. Like, it's a massive influx of energy and economic activity across every town, whether it's Tralee or Castlebar or Letterkenny. You know, when these games go around the country, it brings huge spending in towns and counties, and it supports 4,200 jobs. And when we did the report, it compares, you know, two periods, 2018 and 2023. And for example, in 2018, the intercounty game was supporting 2,700 jobs, and now it's 4,200 jobs. So the report shows how positive this is for the economy, how positive it is for the people of Ireland. But it also then did a deep dive into being an intercounty player. And it was just startling at the costs. And I think, you know, people are surprised to think that, geez, surely an intercounty player isn't out of pocket. But they're out of pocket to the tune of about €4,600. And that's because when you're someone training and playing at that level, it could be burning 1,500 calories in a training session, driving around the county, you know, foregoing part-time opportunities and work. And one big one, Jerry, is, and if listeners can visualise this, you know, visualise that Kerry football team, and 30% of those lads are students, but they can't have a part-time job at the weekend. They can't be working in a pub or in a bar in Clarny, yeah, and lining out their county on Sunday. So players are really struggling. So the why, you know, we couldn't have more facts and data to demonstrate that, Jesus, you know, increasing this grant from 1,400 to 2,500 is absolutely the right thing to do. And, you know, we've done a roadshow with the ministers. We've met, you know, even Minister Healy Ray there, who would have a good sense of things in Kerry. And, you know, a lot of ministers were saying you should be asking for double. And that the impact that these players give to the Irish economy is so significant. So, yeah, look, we think that the ask is fair. And when you break it down, you know, you're talking maybe 80 or 90 euros a week. And it's just to cover the cost of being an intercounty player.
Yeah. Look, John Milan has been speaking the last few days on this as well, and he feels, look, he said 2,500 is buttons. He said we should be demanding a figure closer to 5,000 each. The minimum should be 5,000 to cover the costs. That's his view, having been a former county player himself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, we do have a submission in there where we need to increase it year on year. What's happened is, actually, is that it hasn't increased between COVID and you know, the crash after 2008. This actually, the funding dropped down to as little as 500 euros, then it came back up to 1200 euros, and then I suppose the GPA, we went to lobby the government, but we merged with the women, and the women at the time were getting nothing. So we worked with the government and said, look, at a minimum, you have to fund female intercounty players. They're putting up the same effort, the same time. And actually, we need to incentivize them to play because they give so much. So the last movement on this and the increase was really to bring up the women. But now that we have men and women funded, now is the time to actually get this right and fund this right. I suppose, Jerry, with a lot of lobbyists out there, they're knocking on the door of government every year, right? Players don't do that. Like, players, you know, this is a catch-up now where players have actually really put their minds in asking government for this increase. And it's a catch-up over 10 years. And we hope that, you know, we hope that they really listen to this and they really value what inter-county players bring. You know, I suppose a lot of players, when we did a roadshow, Jerry, was looking at the NFL game this weekend and seeing that the government has given 10 million to that game and 5 million to the college football game. And, you know, they're saying, well, hold on a second.
That's money to sporting organisations for the economic impact of one-off matches, tourists coming into the country and players standing in the bars and the hotels and the restaurants and all of that. When you see that and that level of money being handed out, there's talks now money should be given. Like, we know how much to be given to the Ryder Cup when it comes. Talks now the Irish Open in Dunveg next year. Money needs to be given for that. Are you sitting back going, hold on a second here, lads. We're only getting 1,400 euros. For our players,
yes.
For what they do year in, year out.
Yeah, Jory, look, we've met a lot of players in groups, small groups, and phone calls, and I think it just jumped off the page. And also, you know, for our games, all our semi-finals and finals, a huge amount of people come from the UK, diaspora from the US, diaspora from all over the world. And actually, what's frightening is our economic report trumps the one for the NFL in terms of the economic impact, because you've activity all year round. So look, I'm not questioning the need to invest in these initiatives. I think investment in sport across the board is money well spent. But I just think there's a real temperature now. The facts are out there now. Everybody's talking about it. You know, every government official we meet tells players you know how important they are, the role models they are, you know, and they do. Can they walk the walk now and actually say, well, you know what? We found it for these initiatives. Let's find it for the players. It's grounded in facts and evidence. We have a number of players who's came out, and past players like John Milan, who said, look, this is a no-brainer. Like, so I think players are really anticipating that government will step up. And we know how important every ask is. But, you know, these are volunteers. They're role models. They give so much to our clubs. And I don't think anybody listening wants any of their local intercounty player to be out of pocket, and that's it. Yeah. We don't want a student to be out of pocket playing for their county
in particular. Okay, Tom, on a separate issue, you've been talking about this in the last number of days as well, particularly in Munster. This is the issue of the seeded draws, where counties are being kept on one side of the draw. The Munster council are due to meet the provincial council to discuss the issue, which sees Kerry and Cork kept apart for the 2026 draw based on last season's league placings. There may be action taken, you feel, by counties over this?
Yeah, look, I think the four counties, you know, particularly, you know, Tip and Clare felt aggrieved. You know, it's not that long ago in 2020 since Tip won a Munster championship. You know, Louth won one in Leinster, Cavan won one in 2020. We've seen when I started playing for Mayo, Sligo were the reign and Connacht champions. And often for those weaker counties, it's a favourable draw to get into a provincial council, and then they might just have that big day where they clip one, just like Tipperary did in 2020. And the players just feel that, you know, they were sidelined, that this was brought in without consultation. And there was no runway. There was no runway to say, right, we're doing this in 2 or 3 years' time. So clear Tip, make sure you get your league standings so you can be ahead of maybe a Cork or a Kerry in the leagues and get that seeding. And then also, Jerry, the frustration is, you know, this is brought into Munster, but yet in Connacht, you could have a Sligo and Leitrim pulled out of the draw in a semi-final, and one of those teams find themselves in the Connacht final, yet three Division 1 teams hammer each other in the other side. So if you have a competition, you need integrity, you need all provincial competitions to somehow look similar, and you know, you can't have a disjointed overall championship. And I think there's frustration. I see the merits in Seton. Obviously, you don't want the top teams to be meeting a Division 4 teams and there being a 20-point deficit. But there's a way to do things, and there's a consultation process, and there should be a runway to any change as well. And look, the GAA is democratic, and I think and I hope that there's a solution here to at least pause this, consult with the players, and get some alignment with other provincial competitions, because I'm sure Kerry players don't want the Ulster players and Connacht players thinking, oh, they have a favourable provincial there where they're seeded and they're nearly guaranteed to be in a Munster final year on year, where a Donegal and Tyrone met in a preliminary provincial game this year. So there's a little bit of frustration amongst players, and I know they've met with the Munster Council on it.
Okay, and we'll see where that one goes as well. Tom, final brief point. Listen, how is the split season going from your members' point of view? We're seeing some criticism, of, particularly here in Kerry, with the way we run our senior club championship, then our county championship. The players are playing their winter county or their club maybe for a year round as things stand. Is it an issue?
It is an issue. You know, I suppose the GPA's position is that the inter-county season should be 7 months, and that's loads. And then those inter-county players can get 3 months at a minimum with their clubs and get a two-month off-season. I mean, there's no professional athlete in the world that is playing 12 months of the year. But you look at a lot of the Kerry players, for example, they're going from December to December, November to November. There's no break. And, you know, the GPA, we've been lobbying and lobbying to remove these pre-season competitions. Unfortunately, I heard this week that Ulster have voted them back in. That, you know, that pulls everyone's hand now to go back to training in November. And even there's, you know, narrative and a vote now to move the All-Ireland finals into August. Something has to give. And unfortunately, the inter-county player has been pulled in every direction. And, you know, it's unfair. The GPA, and I'm personally, you know, I played with Mayo for 12 years, and I know the demands that are on bodies and the injuries that occur from not getting a break. And I really think, you know, if we want to protect the amateur status and the values of the association, and, you know, the GA president talks a lot about GA values, if we don't solve the load that's on players, this just isn't sustainable. So those two things, you know, we talk about funding expenses, that's on the left hand, but nearly as, and more important than any sort of funding, is that we don't burn out players. And at the minute, and I've seen Pat Spillane put out an article on, you know, even the competition, club competitions in counties and in Kerry, and the demands in inter-county players, something needs to change. It's not right, and the GPA are working in the background hard the last 2 years to really reduce the demands on players.
Okay, all right, Tom, listen, we'll leave it there. My thanks to you for talking to us in the programme this morning. That's Tom Parsons there of the GPA talking about their ask for the budget for the government. Give us your thoughts on that.